From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the governor and his Republican challenger engage in a raucous debate. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, will share his thoughts on what impact the debate, if any, will have on the race. And New York U.S. Senator Schumer stops in the Hudson Valley to promote his bill to help law enforcement involved in the opioid crisis. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his Republican challenger Mark Molinaro engaged in a testy debate this week that centered on corruption in state government and the candidates' views and relationships with President Donald Trump. The Legislative Gazette's Capitol correspondent, Karen DeWitt, has more.
In a debate aired on CBS2 in New York City and simulcast on the radio, the candidates often talked over each other and the moderators and traded insults. The rapid-fire exchanges grew even testier over the topic of corruption in state government. Challenger Molinaro brought up the bribery and bid-rigging convictions of several former associates of Governor Cuomo.
Admit you either you've benefited politically from it or you have no clue what's going on within the administration. This is what is stealing from taxpayers. You have allowed individuals in this administration to defraud taxpayers. And anywhere else in America, no governor could possibly be running for re-election.
Cuomo, who was never directly implicated in the convictions, accused Molinaro of getting his wife a job with a contractor that did business with Dutchess County, where Molinaro is the county executive.
You're the one who has been called on for an investigation for a kickback that went into your pocket.
That is not true.
Where you had a family member employed by a contractor who you gave a contract, and then you lied about it on the disclosure form. And you cannot deny it.
That's
a crime, my friend.
Democratic lawmakers in the Dutchess County Legislature are calling on the New York Attorney General and the State Ethics Commission to investigate alleged pay-to-play actions by Molinaro. A spokeswoman for the Molinaro campaign, Catherine Delgado, has called the charges pathetic and groundless. Cuomo and Molinaro also sparred over who is closer to President Donald Trump. Cuomo, who frequently denounces Trump and his policies, tried to pin down Molinaro on whether the GOP candidate is a Trump supporter.
Are you saying you don't support Donald Trump?
I'm saying that I'm absolutely committed to the delivery of mental health services.
Do you support Donald Trump?
Let's get out of this conversation.
Do you support Donald Trump?
I support anyone who is going to effectively make an investment.
Do you support Donald Trump? Do you support Donald Trump?
Mr. Molinaro,
you can't answer it.
Molinaro never directly answered, but he has said he didn't vote for Trump in the 2016 election. The Republican candidate then turned the tables on Cuomo, pointing out that the Democratic governor was once friendly with Trump when he was a real estate developer in New York City.
Your private law firm represented Mr. Trump and his real estate interests before state agencies while your father was governor. You accepted $60,000 from Donald Trump and haven't returned it. You, when you were trying to make friends with the president when he first came to office, told him you wouldn't run against him. And you, sir, had him at your bachelor party. I didn't.
Trump did not attend the governor's party in person, but sent a humorous videotape. The two also discussed legalizing marijuana, which both now support, and the abortion rights protections in the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. Cuomo wants to codify those provisions into New York state law. Molinaro says Roe is settled law and no more needs to be done. There was one question about upstate New York, whether the state should pay for a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills. Both candidates said no. Three other candidates in the race were not invited to the debate. Independent and former Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner, Green Party candidate Howie Hawkins, and the Libertarian Party's Larry Sharp will appear, though, along with Molinaro, in another debate. It's sponsored by the League of Women Voters, and it will be held on November 1st. But so far, Cuomo has not committed to participating. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok.
Alan, President Donald Trump condemned a series of suspected mail bombing attempts against Democratic officials, saying, quote, the threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the U.S. He's called for unification. The pipe bombs were sent to former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Washington office of California Representative Maxine Waters, as well as CNN. It touched off a mass evacuation yesterday at the Time Warner Center in Midtown Manhattan. For a time, it was believed even Governor Cuomo had received one of these packages. Turned out to be a thumb drive that had some information about the Proud Boys on it. Nonetheless, some of this happening in New York, and of course the governor out calling for increased security at all transportation hubs around the city, and these kinds of events labeled terrorism.
Well, they are terrorism, obviously. The president has an ability to forget his role in all of this, of course. He's the guy who has called all of these people names. His people, the Hannitys and the other guys, are all out there saying this is all a put-up job to draw sympathy for the Democrats. It's utter nonsense. The president goes and he attacks CNN and the crowd roars about CNN. And this is very dangerous. The fact that these bombs are out there, you know, you don't have the FBI and others saying that the bombs are not lethal. In fact, these are the real thing. And we know that now. And the president has a huge responsibility. And there has to be an understanding that his rhetoric has inflamed people to the point where this kind of thing is happening. I'm not surprised.
Well, a contentious and raucous debate between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his Republican challenger Mark Molinaro this week. Your thoughts on the debate?
Well, it was really something. Frankly, I came home and I turned the thing on, and I was not prepared for what I heard, which was a real blowout between the two men. There was nothing that was untouched. Molinaro, of course, is, you know, way, way behind in the polls. So he had to do what he had to do. And he went after Cuomo in every way possible, yelled about the corruption in his administration, the sleaze. He said, look, you know, no other governor could be reelected under these circumstances, surrounded by the kind of stuff you're surrounded by. And Cuomo, for his part, went after Molinaro. His wife had a job. It was a question as to whether that was proper, since somebody who needed something or did business with the state gave her the job. And it was really something. It was the kind of debate, it seems to me, that, you know, they didn't play by Marcus de Queensberry rules, that's for sure. But everybody said what they were going to say, and you could just see the kind of negative research that both sides were doing on each other.
A debate.
In the 19th Congressional District, a major race that's being watched all around the country. Your thoughts, of course, especially on the two major candidates, Antonio Delgado, the Democrat, John Faso, the incumbent Republican, on the heels of a new poll that finds them in a dead heat.
Well, they are in a dead heat. Faso was leading in this poll by 1 percentage point, which, of course, means nothing. We saw in Queens, a candidate, Cortez, beat the pollsters by 50 points. So 1 point can mean nothing. It's all going to come down to turnout. The interesting thing about the debate is that the Faso people insisted that the third party and fourth party candidates be present. One of those fourth party candidates is Diane Neal, a former actress, who is polling at 5%. She is, of course, to the left of center, not exactly all the way over. Steve Greenfield, who is polling at a much lower rate, the Green Party candidate, and between them, that's 6%. Now, that 6% may well come out of Delgado's total. So this is going to be a race that is determined by how much people want to flip the House of Representatives and put the Democrats in power so that someone can control the Trump impulses that we are seeing virtually every day as he tells yet another lie. That's what this is about, because it is the party that's going to control whether their investigations, whether the committee chairmanships, whose people have been feckless in the past, the Republicans, will be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to the Trump issue.
Meantime, former state Senate leader Dean Skelos sentenced to 4 years and 3 months in prison in New York after he and his son Adam were convicted on charges of extortion and bribery. And we're hearing that the relationship between the two has gone south.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a great tragedy. Politicians just have to realize that the public good is the public good and that they can't transgress and take advantage of it. One only wonders how much of this goes on that we don't know about. It's a tragedy for Skelos. It's a tragedy for his family. He'll be in jail for quite a while. And it is a great come down. David, I'm sure you remember having him on the Capitol Connection
sure.
with me and sitting there. And I always felt that he was a nice enough man, but very, very reserved when we were asking him questions in our studios. And now you see him heading to jail. Nobody should be happy about when you see these kinds of failures on the part of our politicians.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustinum. The four candidates for New York's 19th congressional district debated this week in Albany. The race is being watched not only throughout New York, but across the country. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and filed this report.
At the WAMC-WNYT debate, first-term Republican John Faso said he's running on his record. Democratic challenger Antonio Delgado emphasized his support for working families. Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield singled out war and peace and poverty as key issues, while independent Diane Neal of Law and Order fame described herself as a resident, a friend, and a neighbor. Among hot-button issues the candidates discussed, health care. Faso has a problem with the Affordable Care Act and was asked about his vote for the American Health Care Act.
While it works for some people, it also doesn't work for many others. And we've seen consistent spikes in premiums and deductibles. What good is insurance if you have a deductible of $8,000? So what we need to do is address the deficiencies of the Affordable Care Act while protecting the things and keeping the things that work.
Greenfield says Medicare for All is the only system that can assure 100% of Americans will have full health care. Neal says she's not a fan of Medicare for All, believes health care is already subsidized, and advocates for a not-for-profit system. Delgado says he supports some form of universal health care.
It'll drive down premiums. It'll drive down deductibles. It'll free up the cost for small business owners who have to apply employer-based insurance. And it'll also free up employees who oftentimes feel trapped where they work because of a fear that they might lose the care that they want.
Quizzed on Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination, Faso leaped to the justice's defense, contending Democrats engaged in a political assassination.
Senator Feinstein, Senator Schumer should be the ones to take the heat on this issue, not Dr. Ford, not Justice Kavanaugh, and not anyone else. They manipulated the process, they abused and undermined the rule of law, and unfortunately, they undermined the confidence in our courts.
Greenfield said of the confirmation hearing,
I believe for the first time in history, we have a proven perjurer under oath now sitting in the highest court of the land. And I sure wish some more of the conversation had focused on that.
And Neal,
I was absolutely shamed by both parties and how they behaved.
Delgado criticized Faso's support of Kavanaugh and called the hearing difficult for the country.
I was against the confirmation of Kavanaugh before even the allegations came out.
Taxes, Social Security, and Medicare have been the focus of many campaign ads. Faso says a growing, vibrant economy is critical to these issues.
4% economic growth is critical, not the 1% or 1.5% that the Obama administration said was the new normal. Higher growth means better ability to constrain deficits and pay our bills.
Greenfield says people are raising illegitimate fears about Social Security.
Because they don't want you looking at the places in the federal budget where trillions of your dollars are being wasted every year.
Neal agreed.
Steve's right about this one. People are always inciting fear.
Delgado says he has a lot of problems with the GOP tax overhaul.
That same bill is now being used by Congressman Fazio and his Republican allies in Congress to cut the programs you're talking about. We're talking $500 billion he just voted for to cut from Medicaid and, in essence, turn it into a voucher program.
In closing statements, Neal mused on being elected to Congress.
We need somebody that is not beholden to the parties. We need somebody that is not paid for, that can go and say, I will do this for you.
Greenfield criticized lack of discussion about the drug crisis, wages, poverty, and lack of economic growth.
It's time to get these conversations out onto the floor of Congress, out onto C-SPAN, where everyone can talk about it.
Reciting his accomplishments as a freshman in Congress, Fazio said it has been a great honor to serve the 19th.
This is a great country because its people are good. God bless you and may God bless America.
Delgado, in a virtual tie with Fazio in the latest polling, underscored a need for fresh voices and promised to serve the community.
With decency, with respect, with strength, and with love. I will always be straight with you. I will always be accountable to you. I will not hide from you. I will not mislead you.
The debate can be watched or listened to at WAMC.org. It airs Saturday on WNYT and WNYA television.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
New York U.S. Senator Charles Schumer made a few stops in the Hudson Valley this week. The senior Democrat's first stop was in Putnam County, outside the Sheriff's Department in Carmel. He was there to promote a bill he says would help law enforcement on the front lines of the opioid crisis. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn was there.
New York Senator Schumer says the bipartisan bill would authorize $20 million to the U.S. Department of Justice to create a grant program to help state and local law enforcement obtain high-tech tools to identify lethal drugs such as fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that is 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin.
There is a little device where you can scan for fentanyl that can be held by our law enforcement officials. If they come upon a scene where there might be a drug dealer or someone who's just succumbed to an overdose, fentanyl could hurt them, could kill them. And these little scanning devices prevent that.
Putnam County Sheriff Robert Langley Jr.
Devices like this would be instrumental for law enforcement. The expenses can be overbearing, and with the help of the federal government, through grants, will alleviate those expenses. Our officers who go into buildings on search warrants often are exposed to unknowns, and this will just make their jobs that much safer.
Schumer says federal law enforcement officials have already deployed this drug scanning equipment to screen contraband smuggled into the U.S. at the border or through the mail. He says the grant program is needed because the scanner can be prohibitively expensive for local law enforcement agencies relying on already tight municipal budgets.
Now, if you're the New York City Police Department, you can afford one of these. They cost about, what is it, $80,000. They use laser technology. But if you're a local police or sheriff's department, $80,000 is a lot. It can pay for an officer. So we have introduced something in a bipartisan way called the POWER Act.
POWER stands for Providing Officers with Electronic Resources. In 2017, according to the New York State Department of Health, Putnam County faced 20 fatal drug overdoses, an increase of more than 66% from 2013. The number was also about double that of each Rockland and Westchester counties. Republican Putnam County Executive Mary Ellen O'Dell praised Schumer for backing what she called responsible legislation.
And it's very important to have tools like this. Technology can only help us fight this scourge of epidemic in heroin epidemic in our county.
Again, Schumer.
We hope to pass this in December when we do the Justice Department bill.
Langley says law enforcement needs more funding to fight the opioid epidemic.
I mean, here in Putnam County, any death resulting from an opioid overdose is treated as a homicide and investigated as such. We would like to be able to staff a full-time dedicated investigator that could follow up on these leads that often bring us down into the Bronx, into the Queens.
Schumer then headed across the Hudson River to Newburgh to call on the Federal Department of Transportation to reverse course and leave in place a requirement that would have mandated trains carrying crude oil and other flammable substances to use electronically controlled pneumatic braking systems. Schumer's third Hudson Valley stop was at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie, where he pushed for passage of the Resident Physician Shortage Reduction Act. In September, Marist College and HealthQuest announced they are partnering to create a school of medicine at Vassar Brothers. and Schumer vowed to lead the venture through the accreditation process.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. At the end of the month, a new addiction treatment center will open in Clinton County. It will provide both detox and rehabilitation services for Clinton, Essex, and Franklin counties, and will be the only such facility in northeastern New York. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports.
The Residential Stabilization Rehabilitation Center in Schuyler Falls, just outside of Plattsburgh, will be operated by the Champlain Valley Family Center. The nearest facility has been in Potsdam, nearly 2 hours away. Champlain Valley Family Center Director Connie Willey explains the new center will provide detox, stabilization, and outpatient substance abuse services.
We're going to have two operating certificates from New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services. One is going to be for a level of care called stabilization. Those that are in mild to moderate withdrawal and in our area, the top substances of abuse are both alcohol and opiates. The other operating certificate we have is for residential rehab. And we're going to help them work on their disease. We're going to be working on a lot of issues with our folks with a primary focus on getting these individuals, helping these individuals get into recovery from their substance use disorder.
Plans for the facility have been in the works for more than 4 years, and advocates have said its opening is critical. Willey says over the years of planning, the need has increased, while access to treatment has worsened.
Canton Potsdam Hospital previously had a detox service. That's about an hour and a half from here. And their detox beds have been closed and have been shifted to Governor Hospital, which again adds probably another 35 minutes to a transport. And beyond that, the next closest would be in the Albany area. So, yeah, the service is needed, and we are thrilled to make it available to residents of the North Country.
Alliance for Positive Health Regional Director Diana Agulia believes there will be greater opportunities to obtain services through referrals to the new treatment center.
We gauge their level of readiness for treatment when they come through the doors during our syringe exchange clinic hours. Sometimes they will literally walk in the door and say, I'm ready. You know, we'll ask them, what can we help you with? And they'll say, I don't want syringes today. I want you to pick up the phone and get me into treatment. So they know that we can connect them. We have those relationships in the community, and we can connect them to treatment pretty quickly. They might walk through our door first and ask us to connect them to Connie's program, or they may just show up at Connie's door as well.
The newly created MHAB Enterprises plans to open new transitional housing on the former Plattsburgh Air Force Base for the homeless and people recovering from addiction in early 2019. President Mike Carpenter says the goal is to help individuals following treatment.
We're looking for what we can do when they get out and they're feeling really good. They've gotten intense treatment, dietary things, all of the things that they need so they have some modicum of health. And now they're going back into the real world. And quite possibly they don't have a place to live. They don't have a job to return to. They may be in financial distress. There may be a lot of problems. We want to soften that blow from when they leave. So we want to give them a temporary transitional environment that will allow them to continue in some form of outpatient treatment, learn some of the skills that they weren't able to learn in such a short time in one of the rehabs, and then get them to a place where they're able to move into permanent housing with secure employment so that they can take care of themselves.
The Champlain Valley Family Center will hold an open house and tours of the new recovery campus on Friday, October 26th.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1843. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Giustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.